Good day, Internet, and a pleasant Monday to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a very good day to the Internet.
It is. It is. For everybody who maybe didn't catch Tom's many announcements, he is off this week, so he is in Australia for, you know, a little R&R and a wedding and fun things and a meetup, too. So it's Roger and Justin and me holding down the fort.
Exactly.
Yes. It's going to be exciting. I tell you, I'm reading up on the whole PGP thing. Man, there's a lot to go through, but it's a very fascinating thing that you hear about on the show. Both Justin and Sarah were discussing their weekends. Mine was filled with a screaming child because she was having ear trouble, so I didn't get much sleep. So that was my weekend. Screaming toddler and no sleep.
What is it about kids and ear infections?
Well, when you're small like that, you don't have the holes in your ears that drain out your sinuses. So any fluid that you get from your sinuses that go into your ear cavity, they just stay there. And there's a potential that they could get infected. That's what the ear infection typically is in a child. But as you get older, you develop those holes and they drain out so that that fluid doesn't sit there.
I was constant as a kid. I remember being constantly in and out of the doctor for an ear infection. That was like the number one malady of my youth.
But, you know, as an adult, you probably not had one, right?
I don't even know what it would feel like, to be honest with you. Like, trying to understand what an ear infection even is at my age, I don't even know. I couldn't even begin to, like, is it a headache? Is it a sharp stabbing pain? I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm sure we're probably going to get an email from somebody that's like, I literally have had an ear infection since I was 2 years old, and let me describe it to you. But you'd be doing good work of research, because I don't think that it's common, unless, I don't know, maybe in some like occupations, like maybe if, is it anything like when you don't like depressurize your ears, like when you're diving or something like that, or maybe like Ashley has problems coming down from planes.
I do too.
Stabbing pain.
It's definitely, but like, you know, it's just like a popping thing. Like you just have to. You know,
yeah, you just got to.
It's not like there's an infection going on.
Yeah. Well, that's another pain, and that's what my daughter was experiencing sort of today, is because of the temperature change. Anyone who doesn't live down here in the LA area, the weekend was actually quite chilly, and so there was a bit of a cold front, and that changes the air pressure. And for a child, that sometimes if they already have issues with their ear, it's like coming down from a plane and you can't pop your ears. You have that pressure on your ears and it's very painful. But as you get older, you can develop ways to pop it, which is like one, chewing gum, like where you just constantly move your jaw to kind of get the muscles around your head to kind of work on your ear to kind of open it.
Or the yawn.
The yawn. Yeah, you know, it's weird because the ear is one of those areas where you don't think too much about until you have a problem with it. And it's...
that's kind of the story of the human body, right? Like, you never really understand exactly what everything does until it goes bad.
You know, that's one of the weird things. I mean, talk about old man syndrome, but you do really take for granted a lot of the things you can do, especially when you're younger. It's like, I can do this, I can do that. But once you experience an injury, whether it's a sports injury or some sort of work-related incident or RSI or something, it's all these things that you suddenly can't do that make you realize all the things you used to be able to do. It's like, oh, why did I take it for granted? I should have been more careful or... Well, that's the thing. It's because I remember I hyperextended my arm. I have tennis elbow from waiting and from playing the cello. But I remember I hyperextended and it just painful. It's like someone broke my elbow. Painful.
Here's a story that will be a tech story soon. Is the Supreme Court legalizing or sorry, striking down a federal ban on sports gambling.
I saw that story.
Which there's not, I was going to suggest it for the show, but I couldn't really find a good, you know, immediate tech thing, a tech angle on it, but it will. I mean, because that is going to be, even look now, inside of Vegas, they had to create, all the casinos had to create apps that were geofenced and you could only use mobile data. You couldn't use a Wi-Fi where it would be possible to spoof. But now I would be shocked if you did not see current applications that are playing in those waters, as well as new companies.
There was a federal ban before.
Yes.
So, but that was in terms of, like, because obviously there was sports gambling in other locations in the U.S. or no, there was just a flat ban.
There are certain places where it is federally, or it was legal. Obviously, you could bet in Las Vegas. I don't know if some Indian casinos did it. New Jersey made a gigantic push to try and go around the federal ban unsuccessfully. So this is going to be a sea change, and not to mention the fact that this is something that the leagues and the teams want in on. They basically want to bring black market gambling into the light with the understanding that they will own a percentage of it. And that was a move by the NBA's commissioner, Adam Silver, to kind of lay the gauntlet down and say, not only do I think it's right, but I want to get paid on each and every bet on our league. And that's, I mean, that just takes revenues to another stratosphere. Because we only have guesstimates on what that actual industry is.
So will this, I mean, I guess that will affect a lot of those offshore betting sites that were allowed. So,
well, I mean, but it again depends, you know, to look at probably the we are in very ever shifting times in terms of our vice laws. And, you know, another market that has come to the light is weed, right? And that's something where you've seen in California that there's been a sudden rise of, let's call them, private sales of marijuana, where previously that had kind of consistently been going down, because now that it's legal, it's taxed and it's more expensive than it used to be. So who knows whether or not offshore will be something that will be maybe prosecuted harder, or people who are interacting with them would be prosecuted harder if they are able to keep things cheaper or offer different incentives to stay there. No matter what, it's going to be interesting. Going to be very, very interesting to see where things go.
Yeah, I mean it's whenever you deal with any kind of technology where there's just enormous amount of money in it, there's a lot of money.
Well, and really, gambling was revolutionized by technology. The fact that you had these offshore companies, and now you didn't need to know, you know, Skinny Pete the bookie, who's gonna, you know, take your action or call it into somebody else. You were able to just go online and, you know, at the risk of putting whatever you're gonna put into some shady offshore account, you could bet the second half of the, you know, Duke North Carolina State game to your heart's content.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm not a big gambler, but I mean, what was the original ban on it? That was to prevent, what do they call it? And, you know, games like where you could fix a match or you could fix a game. Was that the rationale behind banning?
You know, I'm not super up on the origins of the original law. It's a 1992 federal law that prohibited most states from authorizing sports betting. That was overturned 6-3 in a victory for New Jersey, which had initially tried to go around the ban. And meanwhile, you know, it also exacerbates other kind of more sportsy issues like the NCAA. Now, all of a sudden, the NCAA is going to have an opportunity to participate in sports betting on its game, something that is...
I always thought that was verboten for college games.
What?
I always thought that was kind of verboten, like you weren't supposed to do that for collegiate.
Oh, I mean... Yeah,
I mean, I don't know anything.
If you're an athlete, sure, but... college football is a huge betting event. College basketball, obviously, for March Madness is gigantic, right? And so now if the NCAA, like some of these other leagues, decide that they want to participate, that's yet another gigantic revenue stream that they're going to have to justify why none of it's going to go to their athletes who are, you know, the product they're selling.
I'm going to start the broadcast now.
Okay.
So let's give it a few seconds to kick in. Kick in. Come on, kick in. Right, right, right. Spin, spin, spin.
Looks like we're live.
Cool.
I mean, I'm nervous, but like, I don't know why.
Why would you be nervous?
I don't know. I'm like, Tom's just going to be away. And
part of it is that there's no safety net because Tom is like the safety net. Like, oh, it screws up. Well, Tom can jump in.
Right.
I'm almost positive that we did an episode of Tech News Today when Tom was gone.
Yeah, we've done it he was gone. We've never done it for this upcoming length of time without Tom.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks.
Right.
Old vacation Tommy, huh? Always. Yeah. Getting out.
Oh, he's gramming too. He's gramming the, you know.
He's living that life.
He's hanging out with Aussies and drinking Fosters. And
no, they don't drink Fosters. Only tourists drink Fosters. Oh, that's okay. What's drilled in my head. Okay. Every Australian state has its own beer. Either it's like 4X or Victoria Bitter, Thule's. What was the other? I mean, I don't drink beer. I wasn't seeking it, but I remember the only person I saw drinking a big can of Foster's was an Italian couple visiting.
That'll teach him.
That'll teach him. Yeah. Let me.
Well, it's 1:30. Yeah. What do you say?
Let's start the show. I am going to play the patron open and then I'll play the music and then you start out with this is the normal open. All right. In 3, 2.
Only you can keep the Daily Tech News Show independent. To find out more, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, May 14th, 2018. From Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane. Tom Merritt is out this week in Australia, but...
I'm Justin Robert Young from Oakland, California, trying my best to... fill the lofty, lofty shoes that Tom has left for us.
You know, we've got our work cut out for us, Justin, but I feel good about it, especially because we have producer Roger Chang, who's going to chime in, perhaps more than usual.
I might chime in, but for now, I will disappear behind the wall of screenshots.
Excellent. Awesome. All right. Well, without further ado, let's start out with a few tech things you should know.
Cue the wall!
Facebook announced it suspended around 200 apps while it conducts a thorough investigation into whether or not the app developers misuse Facebook user data. Cambridge Analytica scandals, obviously, behind this. Back in March, CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that any apps that would not agree to a thorough audit would be banned from the platform.
You know, the question here is going to be exactly where they draw the line of who misused what and how much they want to punish it, because they have an ecosystem problem. If they draw that line too harsh.
Well, in the TechCrunch article, TechCrunch reached out to Facebook to say, okay, well, you've banned 200 apps, but how many have you, you know, reviewed? And they said thousands, but were very vague about it. So hard to know what's going on behind the scenes there.
TiVo's DVR is getting Alexa support. The assistant will be able to change the channels, skip commercials, Shut up, Alexa. Sorry. jump back or forward and launch apps like Netflix. Last year, Dish became the first U.S. pay TV provider to integrate with Amazon's Assistant, and DirecTV and Verizon have integration as well.
Well, you know, you did it to yourself.
I certainly did.
Democrat Senators Edward Markey, Chuck Schumer, Bill Nelson, and Brian Schatz will force a vote on restoring net neutrality provisions repealed by the FCC this Wednesday, May 16th. The press release added that the resolution has the full support of all 49 Democrats in the Senate, plus Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Another
will be interesting.
Yeah, a reminder that even if this does pass, it is likely to be vetoed by Trump, but who knows? Wi-Fi Alliance is introducing a new wireless standard called Wi-Fi Certified Easy Mesh, allowing customers to use different brand routers that conform to the standard in a mesh network instead of buying an entire system from one vendor, as the situation is now. Easy Mesh will also be future compatible, meaning routers that currently support Easy Mesh will work with future Easy Mesh compatible routers. To support the standard, routers will need at least 802.11n compatible hardware.
Let's talk a little more about a big story today, and that is encryption tools for email that are widely used and may not be the right call. PGP and SMME, both email encryption tools, are vulnerable to hacks that can reveal the plaintext of encrypted messages. Sebastian Schintzel, a professor of computer security at Munster University of Applied Sciences, wrote on Twitter yesterday, Sunday, that there are no reliable fixes and says that anybody who uses either encryption standard should disable them when sending sensitive information or, you know, in general. Both Schintzel and a blog post by the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, referred those affected to instructions for disabling plugins in Thunderbird, macOS Mail, and Outlook. Roger, I know you've done a little bit of digging into the story. There was a paper that's apparently going to be published tomorrow with a lot more information about this. But what's going on here?
So, for those who are not familiar, PGP stands shorthand for Pretty Good Privacy, and it was a system used that allowed people to encrypt messages and send them via email. The idea is that you have two keys. You have a private key, which is the one you have, and a public key, which is the one you hand to everyone else. Anyone wants to send you an email, they take that public key that you give them and they encrypt it. The only way to decrypt it is with your private key. And so you could be sure that the people that sending it to you, even if someone intercepted that email, that attachment would not be able to be seen because they wouldn't have that private key to decrypt it. Now, the vulnerability that was discussed, this is currently this. I haven't read the full paper yet because it hasn't been released as of this recording. Is that there's two vulnerabilities. One is with OpenPGP and S/MIME itself, but the other attack vector is with the client. That means the email, Outlook, macOS Mail, anything like that, where they. Because of the way PGP works, an attacker can essentially insert additional data into a PGP mail that's going in transit and basically fool your system into taking, and once they decrypt that email, they mail a copy to the attacker. Now, the attacker in that phase will not be able to see the email, but it's a way to kind of stick their foot in the door, right? It's kind of like when you wait for someone to go into an apartment building complex you don't have the key for, you know, the door closes very slowly, so they run very quickly right behind you to get in, even though they're not allowed. It's going to be very complicated. We have Shannon Morse coming Friday, and we'll be able to talk at length with her, kind of figuring out how severe this is. Now, the important thing to say is this is not in the wild. In other words, there has been no verified public attack. This is what researchers have discovered as a potential vector for attack. And so in terms of precaution, the EFF and a bunch of other people are saying, just don't use it for right now. Use another service like Signal or something to get messages, encrypted messages from you to other people.
So when you say don't use it, you mean don't use email because these are the most popular encryption formats for email?
Well, yeah, don't, if you want to send some, currently, you know, you can assume that PGP and SMIME aren't 100% safe. And if you have any doubt or you just have very sensitive data, use another method to send that message through. So Signal or another encrypted app that doesn't go through email or another method like meeting them in person.
Do we know if there's anything other? Is there any other messaging or communications platform that uses these formats?
No, you essentially need to implement PGP and SMIME. Or in PGP's case, they're add-ons, so they aren't by default something that you have with email, right? It's something that you have a function to encrypt mail, attach it, and send it via email. So basically, like putting a lock on your on a piece of mail that you send through the postal service. It's another layer of security that you have because email in itself is not secure.
Gotcha. Moving on, sources tell the Wall Street Journal that engineers at Tesla considered adding a driver attentiveness system to autopilot to ensure that drivers were still looking at the road or keeping their hands on the wheel when the car was in autopilot mode, but that Elon Musk and other Tesla executives overruled the idea, reportedly because of the price to implement and its potential to frustrate users. Autopilot is classified as a driver assistance, not driverless, meaning the car and the driver share responsibility. In other Tesla news, Doug Field, Tesla's senior vice president of engineering since 2014, is, quote, taking some time off to recharge and spend time with his family, unquote, but has not left the company. Tesla will restructure in an effort to streamline its business, CEO Elon Musk told employees Monday. Obviously, tough times for Tesla these days. Sarah, which of these stories interests you?
Well, you know, considering that the last earnings report with Elon Musk was strange, the phone call afterwards, yeah. You know, and he's just, I don't know, he's on another planet, quite literally, but figuratively as well. But I do... You know, I think autopilot came into play in 2015, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
And, you know, if an engineer said, hey, we could put some sensors on the wheel, you know, or, you know, maybe, you know, the rearview mirror, there could be something to, you know, be able to tell if somebody's eyes were actually looking at the road. I could see executives being like, well, you know, it's, you know, too expensive. We don't need that. But considering that there was an autopilot death recently, I think it was March. And just the whole driverless or driver assist type thing is a sticky situation for a lot of companies, not just Tesla.
You know, I wonder whether or not they would feel that bad things happen in whenever you're in a car. Right. No matter how many different safety features that you have and add autopilot to that, does that make us, A, is it effective? B, does it make us more or less culpable if something does go wrong that and they did clear these features? And beyond that, when do we decide to strip these features out? You know, like when do we make the call? Nope. Now it's something that you should not have to have these elements involved in the process. These are all tricky questions, but man, it does feel like there is just a dog pile on Tesla right now. They are not doing well in terms of producing their cars. They're streamlining their management. And when these kinds of leaks come out about decisions made long ago, you know that the knives are out.
Elon Musk telling employees that they were going to, I think the term was flatten the executive structure, with Doug Field obviously taking some time off, that, you know, a spokesperson said he wasn't leaving the company, hard to say, taking some time off, which has not been determined the length yet.
Yeah.
You know, it tends to make one wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah. Oftentimes people take time off with the exact same interval that it takes for their contract to expire.
That too. Law firm Gerard Gibbs LLP filed a class action lawsuit against Apple for faulty butterfly keyboards found in 2015 and later MacBooks and 2016 and later MacBook Pros. The suit alleges Apple knew of the defect but did not disclose the issue to customers and is now accused of violating California's Unfair Competition Law and Consumer Legal Remedies Act, the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, the Song-Beverly Consumer Warranty Act, and fraudulent concealment.
Here's what I want to know. When did it become so popular to get on these warranty acts? Everybody, they're just like crowding in so much. Every single one of these has like two different co-sponsors. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs the warranty rub.
So I have a 2016 MacBook Pro. I do not have any problems with my keys, but I know a lot of people who do. This is a common complaint. You know, someone's like, my N key stopped working or my shift key stopped working. And, you know, it's something that you can, you know, fix at a Genius Bar or whatever, but it's extremely inconvenient and it's widespread enough among people who, you know, work in the tech scene that I assume it's pretty widespread for everyone else who I'm not following on Twitter.
Well, everybody go ahead and let us know. Hit us up at Justin R. Young and at Sarah Lane if your later than 2015 MacBook Pro keyboard is not working. Wear OS, formerly known as Android Wear, is getting a new chipset from Qualcomm. Qualcomm says by the holiday, several partners will have Wear OS smartwatches with the new chipset. Pankaj Kadia, Qualcomm's senior director of wearables, refers to the new chips as dedicated in use cases, saying that we can expect multiple variations. All chips will have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi as standard, while fitness and sports-focused chips will have GPS. And likely LTE support as well as improved battery life.
Yeah, we didn't get a lot of information about how improved the battery life would be, but assuming that, you know, I mean, I have a watch that has a battery that's not a smartwatch and, you know, it's going to last however many years, right? Yeah. You know, if you have a smartwatch, your battery, you know, it's yeah. So that's, you know, that's cool. They also, Qualcomm, a spokesperson in the story that I read anyway, was going on and on about how the, you know, the having a watch with good battery life and, you know, having your notifications and everything was still not attractive as a watch. And sure. So Qualcomm is, you know, looking forward to being a part of, you know, the next era of smartwatches where they're not like, do you have a cool watch or do you have a smartwatch?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, look, smartwatches and wearables in general, I feel like are still in a lot of throwing all the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks phase because you're trying to, they're kind of in the unenviable position of not having the hardware to do the coolest possible things that we can think of. And yet not being something that you can just put on your wrist and forget forever. Every version of this could very much benefit from having something that you don't have to charge every day, that you can charge very fast, and be able to have LTE to really, really, really take advantage of the, I just put it on my wrist, and now all of a sudden something really cool is possible that wasn't also, that I also just can't do on my phone easier and faster.
Another cool thing, Uber users, this is an update to the app, can now rate their trip mid-ride instead of just at the end or when you fire up your Uber app the next time you ride, which could be days later, providing a star rating with categorized and written feedback or a tip at any time instead of having to wait for the trip to end. This is actually an issue I've had quite a few times because sometimes I'll have a bad ride and then I forget and then I give them 5 stars because, you know, I'm just trying to be nice, but I kind of, you know, there was more context that I wasn't adding. Uber says the data will be used to recognize top quality drivers, but also better pinpoint where and when something went wrong if the review is not glowing.
Look, I think this is fantastic because I have fairly rarely had terrible experiences with rideshare in general, but man, when somebody is trying to take you for a ride and totally going against what the GPS is telling them and you're frustrated and you've corrected them twice, the ability to give them one star, which would then, I assume, on Uber's back end, just immediately trigger them watching what happens throughout the rest of that ride, or at least flagging it at the point that you were dissatisfied enough to take action, I think can be a tremendous boon for their user experience as a whole.
And Uber's been, their customer service is actually really good. The other day I was trying to get an Uber to my house, and I saw that the person was just going in the wrong direction for like 6 minutes, so I canceled the ride. And Uber was like, well, you know, that costs you $5 for the driver's time. But it's like, well, but the driver was going in the absolute wrong direction, which is something that I'll get my money back for that.
Yeah.
You know, as history serves anyway. But this is another thing. It's like, yeah, because they know where you are. They know exactly who you're with, where your ride is going. And if you can, you know, if you have, I don't know, the trip starts fine and then something's weird in the middle, and then, you know, you get out your destination, you know, eventually, that's all fine and good. But by the time you get out and, you know, fumbling with your phone and the whole thing, it's like, you might not give them the feedback that they actually want. Like, this is data that they actually want.
Sure. I just need one more thing, Uber. Just give me a button to press when somebody calls me and asks me where I'm going, which you're not supposed to do. And I can just hit a button. And then if I take the ride, I take the ride, but at least they understand that this behavior, which is against their entire business model, is being recorded and you can track who's doing it. That's all I need from the app. Levi's smart jacket and technology fashion statement, the Jacquard, has got a new 1.2 platform update from partner Google. The update adds support for ride-sharing alerts. Poses aware mode, that's a proprietary technology that lets users hear what's going on around them and still listen to their music, and location saving. Of course, the Jacquard is a connected jacket from Levi's.
So I love a good jean jacket. I don't know why I would need this.
Right.
But I just don't, I don't know. The connected clothing thing has never caught on for me.
I'm fine with it if it does not need to be charged, if that makes sense. If there's some element of an interconnected smart technology that just comes standard, or there's an open framework where it's easy and cheap for people to put it in, I'm for it. But man, do I not need yet another thing in my ever-growing garden of wires to plug in every single night.
I think, go ahead, Roger.
Oh, no, it's just, what I think interesting is that there was enough faith in it to have an update, right? So the update does signal to consumers that, like, this is something we're still pursuing, Google and Levi's. And so it's not going to be an orphan product. I think there's something there. I honestly do. I think as much as, you know, whether you're not into denim jackets or into Levi's, you know, style, or having, you know, weird baseball motions to activate, like cufflinks, it's around the cuff to activate the various functions. I think there's something here with this particular product. And I think it has to do with the fact that I believe, like, you're at some point that will kind of be like the keyboard interface of whatever device, not necessarily your smartphone, but it could be, you know, it could be a watch, it could be glasses, it could be something, but you could use the I always want to say shirt, but it's a jacket, as a way to interface with that in a way that looks natural, right? You don't need to cobble together a bunch of different devices plus your smartphone to control it all.
I'm waiting for smart pants so I can text my mom happy Mother's Day by, like, ham boning on the BART. Like, that'll be a great step forward for me. In all seriousness though, I do think that there is a place for something like this going forward, but it'll definitely, for me at least, depend on having it be easy to use and something that does not get in the way and adds unobtrusively, where I don't quite know that I need to have, you know, a full haptic feedback system to let me know that my Uber's there when I already have a phone and a watch to do it. But you never know.
I like the Bose Aware mode because I frequently in the alley right outside my house is like, if I'm listening to music, I can't hear somebody behind me, you know, and you have to be aware. So yeah. that whole thing is like, that's pretty cool. And I know that exists already, but to have it on a jacket, like if you're biking or something, sure. You know, you're just like not in a position to even look at a smartwatch necessarily. I can see.
You do that thing where you're walking, somebody that you know is like walking toward you, but you have to make the decision on whether or not to pull your earbuds out to like prepare for a conversation. And then like, let's say you do, but they don't initiate, then you got to put it back. I would love to just be able to kind of turn it down and be able to have it. But that just might be a very slim use case for only me and my anxiety.
Yeah. Depends on who's walking toward you, I guess.
I know.
Hey, folks, to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes or less, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. And thanks to everybody who supports us in our subreddit, dailytechnewsshow.com or reddit.com/dailytechnewsshow. All right, thing of the day. Let's check in with Nate Langston to find out why a laser could get you jail time in the UK. True story.
Thanks, guys. Hey, how long do you think you could get in prison in the UK for shining a laser at an airplane? Well, thanks to a new law here in the UK, the answer is 5 years and an unlimited fine. Turns out lasers are still causing massive problems at airports. We've discussed that in depth this week, and we shine some local light, not lasers, on Google's decision to ban all ads for and against the upcoming Irish abortion referendum. And we discuss how that fits in with the UK and Ireland's usual expectations of democracy in the age of the internet. All that and more at techpodcast.uk. Back to you.
Thank you, Nate. My goodness. Lasers in airports. They're not joking around over there. Time to check the mailbag now. This one comes from Matt. He says, here in Massachusetts, Xfinity just boosted my internet to 150 megabits per second download. However, at the same time, they removed channels like the Food Network because they claimed there weren't enough viewers. Of course, you can get the Food Network if you want to pay more. You can move up a tier and get the Food Network back. I'm on the digital economy plan, the cheapest high-speed plan they offer. I call BS on nobody watching the Food Network because
I don't, as much as I know that the Food Network devotees are hardcore, the question for Comcast is not necessarily who is watching or if there are people watching, but are there enough people watching to navigate the very tricky late stage world of rights fees for all of these channels, which are very often tied together with parent companies. So I would not be shocked specifically on these budget plans. You are getting the budget plan because they are going to be able to pull stuff like this. In a weird way, as cable gets consistently more and more sheared down by other different properties, you're probably going to see it morph more into what we've kind of always wanted, which was a more a la carte system where they will offer more specifically tailored plans to exactly what you want as they slowly fade away and classify themselves as obsolete.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit of a switcheroo on Xfinity's part. No one's watching the Food Network, but if you pay more, you can get the Food Network back.
Here's
some faster internet that you didn't ask for.
Because remember, they have to pay per subscriber for the Food Network. So they're saying you're not worth it if there's not enough of you doing it. If that makes sense. Or if they're on just that plan and they can reduce it to another tier, then all of a sudden they're paying way less to the Food Network to air their channel.
Got it. Well, thanks, Matt, for the feedback. Always good to get feedback from all of you. And thanks also to Justin Robert Young for helping me hold down the fort on this wonderful May 14th Monday. Justin, what's been going on with you?
Oh, well, you know, we are doing our best over here in Oakland at the studios where I am broadcasting to bring you the political news in your inbox 5 days a week. So what do you say you get on board with this free political newsletter. All you got to do is head on over to freepoliticalnewsletter.com. It is the politics, politics, politics daily. Free, 5 days a week. It's mostly gifts, maybe a few hot takes, all the stories you need to know. And you don't have to read any blogs. You don't need to watch any 24-hour news. Just come to your boy. I'll get it to you post-haste. It's overnight now, even on the East Coast. So go ahead and check that out. Freepoliticalnewsletter.com.
Thanks to everybody who supports the show, dailytechnewsshow.com/support. You have lots of ways to support our show. But the most popular way is via Patreon. We love our patrons. We love our patrons. Patreon.com/DTNS. And please, please peruse our selection of branded gear. Yes. We have hats. We have sweatshirts. We have ladies t-shirts, all that good stuff. And our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. And tomorrow we'll be back with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frogman Club.
Enjoy this. Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Sorry.
Remix!
I bungled the end of that big time.
You did fine. I literally hit the wrong button on my soundboard.
More shows like this at frogpants.com.
Thank you, Justin.
Do you want to do that again? Because I can just delete that and just run it right on the back here.
If yes.
You want to try.
So right,
hold on.
Beja, talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants.
Wait a minute. Just do the whole music and then all the stingers.
Okay.
When I say go. I'm just telling you what you should do. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Perfect.
Thank you. Hey, what about a title?
Great show. What should we call it?
Let's call it... Tesla in a tussle is okay.
So yeah, if you stop that and just send it to me, Justin, it'll be awesome.
I'm going to lay it in right now. So
dailytechnewsshow.com/live. And Tales from the Encrypt is good. Eastern 2030 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com.
See one more time.
2030 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. And tomorrow we'll be back with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
All right. That should be good. You are gonna have to cut out the silence in the middle though, Raj.
Yeah. Yeah, if you just want to send that to me through Slack.
You got it.
I'll beat it with a something.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, and I'll have to cut out the top portion too because I had you record part of the pre-show. So wait a minute.
You can. Unfortunately, you won't be able to cut out me accidentally setting off my Amazon Echo with like literally the first words out of my mouth.
That was funny though.
It was.
You know, that's the whole reason that we try not to say her name.
I know, right? Say her name. By the way, do you see that that name plummeting as a baby name?
What name? Oh.
plummeting as a baby name because nobody wants to doom their child to be, or be yelling their child's name and like constantly setting off their thing.
Was it a very popular baby name before?
It was surging and fell off a cliff.
Interesting. Well,
it was surging while the Amazon who's he what's it?
Yeah, let me see if I can find the story.
All right. So title wise, Tesla and the Tussle Tales from the Encrypt.
Alexa has become a less popular baby name since Amazon launched Echo.
Sorry, everyone.
Oh, sorry.
Smart Jacket. Tales from the Encrypt, Tesla and a Tussle. What do you guys think?
Sorry, say it again.
Tales from the Encrypt.
Okay. Tales from the Encrypt and Tesla and the Tussle are the two.
The name has declined in popularity 33%, according to new data from the Social Security Administration, crunched by University of Maryland sociology professor Philip Cohen last year. Just 3,833 baby girls were named, you know what? Over 6,000 the year before.
Picking names is always hard. I mean, we were going through names the other night, and it's always hard. Trying to figure out what to name.
Okay. Yeah, so it seemed to hit a high in 2015. Although it has not receded to 1985 levels yet.
I don't know anybody with that name. I know people with similar names.
Yes. I don't know. Like, there are no more Rogers. There hasn't been really a popularity of the name Rogers since, like, the 60s and 70s.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's just not a thing.
Let's see. Popular boy baby names.
Like, maybe Ed, like Ed Sheeran.
All right, here we go. This is top 100 boys' names for 2018. Sarah, you want to take a guess?
I would guess Joshua, Matthew, Michael.
Wow. Three strikes.
What? They're not in the top 100?
No, I'm only looking at the top 10. So.
Oh, top 10. Oh, so like, I don't know, like Braden or, you know, Caden or Jaden. It's got to be in there somewhere, right? I feel like everybody's got it.
Almost, you were sniffing around. Aiden, number 7.
Okay. Yeah.
Ethan, number 8. Here's your top 5. Number 5, Mason. 4, Logan. 3, Elijah. 2, Noah. And 1, Liam.
Liam is number 1, huh? Interesting. I always thought Liam was short for William.
Oh, really? I always thought of Liam as Irish, but apparently it's German.
Well, what about girl names? Now I'm curious.
All right, here, I'll do that. Hold on. Here we go. Don't look at it because
I won't.
This is according to Mom365, top girls' names for 2018. What are your guesses here, Sarah?
Ava, Audrey, Mackenzie.
Tell you what, you were firing right out. You hit your first one shot, one kill with Ava, number 3 girl's name. Yes. We can go from 10 to 1. Emily, Abigail, Charlotte, Amelia, Mia, Sophia, Isabella, Ava, Olivia, and the number 1, Emma.
I wonder if that's from Friends.
Emma?
Because Rachel named her daughter Emma.
Oh.
Friends. I wonder if that has anything to do with it, but I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Man, all these names. The boys' names just all sound like lead singers from bands I would listen to in the early 2000s. Like every indie rock band lead singer would be named one of these, like, you know, kind of weird, like, oh, that's what Elijah's lyrics really say.
Right, yeah. You're going to go see Logan's band later?
Yeah, exactly.
He's the best.
My roommate's ex-girlfriend used to date Mason. They always used to go to shows.
Well, isn't that nice for them?
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I don't know the baby name trend thing is very fascinating to me, but I don't get it. I don't understand why things take off the way that they do, and then it's like everyone's naming their kid. I said Ava because I know somebody who just named her child Ava, but I was like, it's been a popular name for a while. Like, she's going to be in class with a lot of other Avas.
I think I'll tell you what, I kind of feel like we're due for a like, everyone's been trying to get so clever with names for forever that I feel like we're due back for the, you know, Rogers, the Jacks, the Johns, the Michaels, to the Mikes to come back. I feel like there's got to be a comeback for that because they're classics for a reason. Everyone's just trying to react to the reaction.
Well, Roger, what were you named after? Were you named after a family member, or why? Because you're the only Roger that I know, at least in my age group.
I was named Roger because my dad named himself Roy when he came to the U.S. At the time, it was customary to have an Anglophile name, so he'd pick Roy. And like the cowboy, there was a Roger, and so therefore I was his son.
Oh, Roy Rogers! That's amazing. That's great.
Oh my gosh! Really? Yeah. That is such a good story.
I mean, you know, you watch enough TV, you pick up on those things.
Oh, yeah, that's
why Roger named his child Horse.
Yes, Horse.
Horse.
Of course, the horse. Of course.
Well, where did Ellie come from?
Ellie, we wanted something that was kind of westerny, but would also like Old West-y, but also something that we could shorthand into cute. So it was Eloise, and then we just yell Ellie across the room and scream at her. Ellie, get over here.
So her name's actually Eloise.
Yes.
Oh, see, I'm learning so much about Roger today.
And then
was a more traditional or
yes,
classic girl's name considered?
We went through a list. We went through like all those online lists, and we were basically sitting in the car, like we were driving somewhere. My wife would toss out names. It's like, no, yeah, no, no. A lot of it was like, we didn't want super popular names like Emily, like, because you don't want to have a name where, like, my wife's name is Jen, and when you say Jen, like, five people raise their hand in a room.
Yeah.
It's such a common name.
Well, as a Sarah, I feel Jen's pain.
Oh, dude, let me just say, Justin, very popular boy's name in the early 80s. I was never in a class where there were not at least three Justins.
Yeah, I mean, story of my life.
Yeah.
That's why you know, I go by Sarah Lane, because I'm like, just Sarah by itself is like, I could be anybody.
Yep.
There are a lot of those.
No, same with me. I go by Justin Robert Young, because not only is Justin Young a very simple name, but it's also a simple name that spans not only just even like white guys. There's a lot of black Justin Youngs. There's a lot of Asian and Korean. There's a lot of Mormon. Like, Young just totally ruins everything. And then to add a very common boy's name in front of it, I'm just like, I knew my SEO was a problem like a year into Google being a thing. And I'm like, we're roping in the middle name here, folks.
So if I Googled Justin Young, what comes up?
A Hawaiian singer, last I checked.
See.
And that was the case back in the 90s.
Yep.
He toured with NSYNC, like back when they were hot hot poop.
Justin Kavika Young, an American singer of contemporary Hawaiian music. Yep. That's the, you can't be, you know.
Mm-mm. No, I knew that it was.
You got to distinguish yourself. These yahoos.
I did once meet another Justin Young. He was a Justin Ryan Young. And he confessed to me that he indeed looked on Twitter for Justin R. Young as a handle and was vexed to see me standing there with a Cheshire Cat grin, having gotten there before him. That made me very happy.
There is something to be said for being in the tech world to the point where you can always get the first handle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Sarah Lane on everything just because I like know about it before the other Sarah Lanes do usually.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just reserve everything. So.
Hold on for 2 seconds.
Sorry, I had to mute myself because I'm trying to edit this audio together.
Oh, no problem.
So I don't want to blow everyone's ear out. But please continue to converse. Oh, wait, what time is it? Oh, actually, I need to stop the stream soon. Thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. It really helps to have an amazing audience while Tom is away enjoying a hard-earned vacation. Like, that man does not take vacations. It's almost scary. And we all really support, we really enjoy the support, and we hope you'll be here tomorrow when we have Patrick Beja in the mix and a list of other exciting people for the week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Audio still recording.
Patrons, you guys are the best.
Mm.
As you already know, but you really are.
Well, and look, you guys have no idea how much these psychologically, what these vacations and the fact that they are more frequent than I think that they had been in a very, very long time for Tom means for Tom. Like, so much of his life is wrapped up in making sure that this goes according to plan each and every day. And the fact that you guys have provided an opportunity for him to be able to enjoy some of the fruits of his labor is, I know for him, amazing.
Everybody needs a vacation.
Hell yeah.
Period, point blank. Yeah.
It's, you guys are amazing. We won't stop saying it because you guys are best audience in the world, and we'll see you all tomorrow.